Can I just call it Independence Weekend? Does that work? It's Independence Weekend. And, you know, obviously most people celebrated the 4th of July this week. And we think about the 4th of July. It's the day that we celebrate the adoption of the Declaration of Independence. How many of you guys have heard of the Declaration of Independence? Hopefully everybody, because if you're here and you're still a kid, that means you're fourth grade and up, and I think you hear about it before that, so at least somewhat. But we think about this document, okay? It's a historical document, and it's really our nation's most cherished symbol of liberty. It's this Declaration of Independence. Like, you think about a declaration like, hey, I'm declaring that I'm a son of God, okay? That's a declaration. That really means something. It means that this is what I'm saying I am, and I don't care what anybody thinks about it. The Declaration of Independence is like, hey, we're declaring ourselves free. We don't care if you agree or not. This is a declaration we're making. And we think about this time whenever this was released. It was a time where the United States were under British jurisdiction and oppression, and the people of the United States desired freedom. And I have to tell you guys something funny. Marissa probably already knows I'm going to say it. For years, she only had one red, white, and blue shirt, and it had a British flag on it, and she wore it every year for Independence Day. And I just thought it was so ironic. Like, that's who we actually got our freedom from. But, you know, me and Christy obviously didn't care because we didn't go buy her one with an American flag on it. But she wore it. She was sporting her country colors, proud. But that's who we were trying to get freedom from, was Britain. So I'm surprised that we never, like, got hassled or anything about it. But it was pretty funny. But you think about the Declaration of Independence. I'm going to read a part of it here. It says, all men are created equal, that they were endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. That whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundations on such principles being the rights that we were given by our Creator. So by such principles and organizing its powers in such form under God, as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Freedom is what they desired, okay? Freedom is exemption from constraint or control. They were seeking, it says right here, their God-given freedom. Freedom that was given to them by their Creator, by God. So while they're being oppressed by the British, they're claiming, hey, my Creator, Almighty God, has given me rights that are our rights. They are unalienable rights. That means these rights can't be transferred to some other power. They're my rights. They're given to me by the Creator, okay? It even has a capital C in there, by the Creator. That's who gave me these rights, and no government, no form of government, no organization can take those rights from me because they're mine. And these rights are not transferable. Therefore, we're claiming these rights to ourselves and for our people. So this is a big deal, okay? And I haven't read the Declaration of Independence for a very long time, and so I forgot what it even said, which is why I looked it up. But, you know, they talk about these rights, and they specifically list three rights that they claim they are given by God. They are given life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. They believe God, the Creator, gave me the right for life. He gave me the right for liberty, and he gave me the right to pursue happiness. And I believe they're right. Okay, I believe that they were onto something here, and we're going to take a look at those things and what the Bible says about these God-given rights today. So I'm going to pray if you want to. I'm not going to be based out of one specific scripture. They're going to be all over the place. But I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 7. And if you want to get a pen and paper ready to jot these down or whatever, you're always free to email me. My email's on the back, and I'll send you my notes as well. So Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for this word. Lord, I know that you spoke it to me, and Lord, I just pray that as I relay it to the church, God, that you would speak through me, Lord, that your words would penetrate hearts today and would change lives. Lord, you show us what your word says about these rights that you've given us, Lord. Let not my ideas be planted in people's heads, but let your word bring truth and freedom to each and every heart and life in this place. I pray, Holy Spirit, take control and lead and guide, and Lord, just touch every heart in this place today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so first is life. Everyone has the God-given right to life, or you wouldn't be alive. Like, you wouldn't have been created in the first place. Okay, so right there, throw abortion out. Everybody is given the God-given right to life. If God created you, you're given the right to life. Nobody else gets to decide that for you. But what is life? Depending on who you ask, you're going to get different opinions on what life is. And for many, it's just the state of just literally being alive. Like, yeah, that's life, just being alive. And beyond that, they may add to it, it's living my life, right? It's living the way I want to live. It's doing what I want to do. Like, that's life. Life is whatever I desire. It's being alive. It's whatever I desire. Those are the kinds of answers that you would get. Kind of, it's my life. I'll live it as I please. Now, whether or not people have freedom does have a great impact on whether or not they have life. And you think about this, that's where people look at what they're able to do, what they're allowed to do, and they dictate, like, well, this, now I'm really living. Like, how many of you heard that before? I'm really living. Like, this is life, you know? I got to spend all weekend on the, you know, on the boat or whatever. This is life. That's not life. It's a pretty cool part of life. It's neat when you get to do stuff like that. But that's not life. Life, we're going to find out, is in God. It's a God-given right. And if we're not looking in the right place for life, it's difficult to find. People that think life is in possessions, that life is in employment, that life is in having kids, all these things, they're all good parts of life. But the people that think that is life, the reason they think that's life is because they're not looking in the right place. Where is life? Now, Matthew 7:14, Jesus said, "Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, there are few who find it." Narrow is the way, and there's few who find it. There's few who find it because there's few that look for it. That's why it's not like, it's not there's 144,000 and that's all that's getting into heaven and there's some kind of ranking list. No, the reason that there's few, I said that because there's certain people groups, I'm trying to be nice, if this is being recorded, I would be nice anyway, but there's certain people groups that believe stuff like that, and this is one of the scriptures that they use, that there's few who find it. The few who find it are the few that look for it, okay? Life is not how much money you have. It's not how famous you become, and it's not finding where you fit in. Life is in Christ. Matthew 10:39 says, "He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." He who finds his life will lose it. All the people that think they found life, I'm really living now. I've got, you know, $200,000 in the bank. I got everything paid off. All, you know, all these things. I'm really living. This is life. I got 5 kids. This is life. I've got a new boat. This is life. You're going to lose those things. People who find life like that, they're going to lose it. There's going to be a day, it's going to be gone. People who lose their life for the sake of Christ find life. It's the people that give up those things. And I'm not one who preaches that we have to all be peasants, that we all have to be poor, that we can't have anything good in life. There's people that do that. I don't believe that. But it's when we put Christ first and we give up some of those things because we put Christ first, those are the people that find life because they found Christ. He's first. So giving up the things of the world for Jesus, that's life. That is living. That is life. That's your God-given right, is to give up things of this world for Jesus. That's a good God-given right, okay? Now, some of you are like, I really don't want to give up this stuff for Jesus. Well, then you haven't found life. I just explained it to you. You haven't found life. This is contrary to, you know, the American dream. In America, we have freedom. We have freedom to, I can pile up as much money as I want, as much money as I can make. I can buy anything I can get my hands on. And that's what people relate to as life. But John 5:40 says, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. So we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we willing to come to Jesus? Are we willing to follow him instead of following society and what the world says is success and what the world says is life? Are we willing to follow him instead, what he says is life, which is him? Are we willing to do things that aren't the popular thing to do? How many of you know that being a Christian really is not the popular thing to do? It just isn't. I don't think it's popular for anybody. I mean, if you're a really well-known speaker, I mean, you take a Joel Osteen or John MacArthur, Mark Driscoll, you can name any big popular speaker. They're popular in the Christian section, but outside of that, they're hated. Those people are hated. They don't do the popular thing. Just because Joel Osteen has however many thousands of people in his church, guess what? Those thousands of people and some of the other churchgoers around the world like him, and everybody else doesn't. You know, just because it looks like he's got it on easy street, I guarantee you that you don't know how he's got it behind closed doors. You don't know the death threats that a man like that gets in the mail. I mean, people think it's ridiculous that people that have a big following like that have bodyguards and security around them because their life's in danger. They're not doing the popular thing just because they're popular. That doesn't equate to doing the popular thing. But how about us? Are we willing to do the things that are unpopular? Are we willing to stand for Christ? Are we willing to say, these are my goals, this is what I consider life, knowing Christ, not piling up all the possessions that I can and people knowing that I have stuff and knowing who I am? So we think about that. Are we willing to give up the things for Christ? Are we willing to follow him instead of society? Are we willing to do things that are not popular? Because John 10:10 says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. More abundantly. This means that the man who has nothing, who knows Jesus Christ, has more than Bill Gates, who has more money than anybody in this country. The man who knows Christ, and I don't know if Bill knows Christ or not, I don't know him, but the man who knows Christ has more than whatever the possessions are than a man who has billions of dollars like Bill Gates does. We get told by the media what's cool. We get told by the media what's exciting. We get told by the media what is life. But here's the things that they say are life. They say sexual immorality is life. Like just doing, be with whoever you want to be, no matter what, inside of marriage, outside of marriage, no matter what the ages are, no matter all the stuff, they say that that's life, being able to just do what you want. The media says that getting drunk all the time and being a fool, you just watch TV for a few minutes, you'll see all the commercials. The media says that that's life. The media says that children rebelling is life. That's not life. That's bondage. That's the opposite of freedom. That's the opposite of what Thomas Jefferson was looking for in the Declaration of Independence. Those things are not life. Those are the very, very, very things that steal, that kill, and that destroy life. The things that the media tells us are life. They're the very things that steal, kill, and destroy lives. Jesus came to destroy the works of the enemy. He came to bring life, a life of peace, joy, love, self-control, perseverance, godliness. The list goes on. So that we may not only have life, but an abundant life, a full life. All those possessions still leave people empty inside. They feel like they're living life, but they're not, because an abundant life means a full life. And Jesus came that we may have life and have it more abundantly, that it may be full. John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is knowing God, period. That's pretty abundant life. That's pretty full life, knowing God. It's eternal that we know God. So abundant life or a full life comes by knowing God. So it's our God-given right. It's our right to know him. And it's our right to have a full and abundant life by knowing Christ. That's what the forefathers, whoever you want to call them, when they wrote the Declaration of Independence, that's the life that they're talking about. Because they said, it's a right given to me by my Creator. Okay? It's not what people today say life is, but that's what we celebrate. That's what lots of people celebrated on Friday. The very things that we just talked about. The things that they believe are life, and they're not life. They're things that destroy life. The next thing that they said was, it's my God-given right to liberty. Liberty or freedom. Everybody has the right to freedom. But what is freedom? And we think about, is freedom what you have when nobody can tell you what you have to do? Is that freedom? Because that's most of the world's definition of freedom. If I have freedom, it means I can do anything I want. Nobody can control me. Nobody can tell me what I want to do. That's freedom. Whatever I want to do. It's freedom when you can just truly do whatever you want, what you desire, because that's the world's definition. But in 2 Peter 2:19, it says, "While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption, for by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage." That's what the Word of God says. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. All the people, all the media, all this garbage that they feed us, they're telling us, this is freedom, this is life, this is the way to do it, this is when you've really made it. Those very people are slaves of corruption themselves. It's why they're feeding us full of all this garbage that's affecting our lives and our families and our communities and the generation. The very people that tell you freedom is doing your own thing, doing what you want and what you think is best, those people are bound by those exact same things. It's why they're telling you that. And I've heard it before. Why would I want to be a Christian? I have to follow all these rules, and that doesn't sound very free to me. How many of you have said that before? I've said that before. Why do I want to be a Christian? Then I have to follow all these rules. I thought it was about freedom. If it's freedom, then why do I got to follow all the rules? That sounds like not free, right? That sounds like I'm bound to your rules. But think about the Word of God. It says, in Psalm 119:45, "I will walk at liberty, for I seek your precepts." I'll be free because I seek your precepts, because I seek your commands. God's commandments are put in place for our freedom. That's what they're there for. If we don't have the commands of God, then we're going to do what the corrupt world says. We're born into a corrupt world. We're not born free. You've never been free if you don't know Jesus Christ. And think about, okay, I get the choice to be a Christian, but do I want to follow the rules? Well, did you choose to be born in sin? No. Did you choose to be born into this world? Did you choose to be bound by the corrupt nature that's in the world? Absolutely not. And you are not free because of it. But what does the world say? The world says that that's free. Deeper into sin, doing whatever I want. But the truths of God are what bring freedom. Romans 8:20 through 22 says, "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope, because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Because of man's sin, we are in a cursed world." I know this is probably elementary for some people, but we need to be reminded of this stuff. Because of the sin of man, we are in a cursed world, and the entire universe has suffered the consequences of human sin. But it's only temporary. That's where freedom comes in place here, okay? Seeing it? That's where the liberty comes, the God-given liberty, because it's only temporary. God has provided the hope of deliverance. We just read it in Romans chapter 8. There will be a day when all of creation will be set free from enslavement and will share in the same freedom that you can receive right now today as a child of God. There will be a day that all of creation is going to experience that freedom. It's God-given right to freedom. 2 Corinthians 3:17. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. There is liberty." We desperately need the Holy Spirit in our lives. You want freedom? You want the God-given right of freedom? You need the Holy Spirit. Without that, it's not going to happen for you. I mean, you can try any other way that you want to, but if you deny the Holy Spirit, if you reject the Holy Spirit, you will not have freedom. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever, not for all of eternity. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We need the Spirit in our lives. We need the Spirit in our marriages. We need the Spirit in our home, in our church, our city, state, country, world. Because without the Spirit of God, there is no freedom. There just isn't. It's fact. It's in the Scriptures. Fact. No Spirit of God, no freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." We are to persevere in that freedom that Christ has provided for us. It's what we were talking about earlier, about pushing through, not giving up, right? We're to persevere in that freedom that Christ has made available to us. We don't give up and go back to the bondages of sin. That's the easy way. It's part of what I shared last week, but that's the easy way, is just to go back, to give up, to throw in the towel. But it's not worth it. Even if it seems easier today, it's not worth it. It is not worth it, not for a second. We have been given freedom for a reason. Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." See, Christ doesn't set us free so that we can satisfy the flesh. Okay, the flesh is not going to be satisfied because the Spirit is free. It's the war. It's the raging war that goes on inside of us. The flesh will never be happy that the Spirit is free. But the reason we are given that freedom is not to satisfy the flesh. And that freedom is not a replacement for morality, but the freedom is so that we may serve one another, so that we may love one another, that we may love God, love others. It says right there in Galatians, "But through love, serve one another." Now, that doesn't sound like freedom. Now, I'm being forced to, like, love people because of my freedom. Well, just like the media is sowing in the garbage into our lives because they're bound by that same corruption, if you have received that freedom, why wouldn't you want to receive or want to sow that freedom into other people's lives? Because you've been freed from that corruption. It ought to be a desire. And I want to tell you guys, you have to be open to God using you in times when you don't expect it. And I've got a short story. I was in Menards the other day, and I was looking at hookups for my truck to plug my trailer into because it's messed up. And I'm standing there looking at these things. And if you picture, I'm standing there like this on the end of the racks right here. And this guy comes around, this young man, and he's from around here. I knew of him, but I don't know him, and he didn't know who I was. He's like, hey, can I help you find something? And Christy thought that either I knew him or something, but I was like, yeah, tell you what I'm looking for. And he's like, I actually don't know anything about that stuff at all. Like, can't help you one bit. And I'm like, I mean, my flesh is frustrated. I'm like, dude, you just asked me if I need help, and I actually do. And now you're telling me that you can't help me? Like, what are you wasting my time for? And somehow we got from there to, I'm trying to decide what I want to share. Somehow we got from there to that he would potentially end his dad's life before he'd let him go to a nursing home. And he told his dad this, and his dad's cool with it. And that he thinks God would understand. And I'm like, no, he wouldn't. He would not understand. He would not give you a free pass. He's like, but, you know, my intentions are good. Like, my heart's good. I don't want. I'm like, no, it doesn't matter. It's still murder. As like, then your dad may not have to go to the nursing home, but you're going to go to hell. Like, and I talked to this guy. It probably was like, what, 15, 20 minutes. You know, Christy and the kids are standing there kind of like, what are we supposed to do? And then his supervisor comes over and is like, hey, you know, I don't remember, let's say his name is Billy. Hey, Billy, did you know that lady was still on hold? And he's like, oh, man, I forgot. She probably hung up by now. And so we just kept talking. But but here I am. I'm looking at these hookups for my truck, and I'm frustrated because this guy offers me help and then tells me he can't help me. And then as soon as I heard an opening, I was like, you know what? This guy needs ministered to. I mean, it wasn't like after I was 5 minutes deep. It was like after a couple words, I was like, I don't think this guy knows what he's talking about. I think I need to help him out here. And from there on, I held nothing back, okay? And I've been in those times where, like, I want to say something to somebody, but I'm, you know, I'm busy, or I don't really want to get into it, or, you know, I'm in a bad mood, whatever. This time I was like, Lord, I'm going wherever you lead this. Like, whatever he says, I'm just going to keep responding, whatever you're feeding me. And I felt like I ministered to that guy pretty well, and he knew of the church, knew of the history of the church long before it was named Freedom Reigns in Christ Church, and I think I might have straightened some of that out as well. But, you know, he said he may come and visit sometime, so anyway. But look for an opportunity to serve God. You talk to guys like Todd and Sherry, people that, well, you don't work in the public so much anymore, but he still sees a lot of people being a farmer. Like, they're always ministering to people, always sharing what they can share. And there's many of you others are too. I'm not trying to leave anybody out, but it's just people that I know that they're constantly telling me about sharing Jesus with people. Look for those opportunities, okay? Just as those people that are bound sow corruption into the world, we that are free, we need to sow the Spirit. We need to sow freedom of the Spirit into this world. So the third thing that was mentioned in the Declaration of Independence was the pursuit of happiness. Everyone has the right to happiness. We do. It's a God-given right to happiness. Thomas Jefferson wrote it. It's got to be true, right? That's not true. He did write it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's true. But we think about happiness. What is happiness? And you're going to see all these things really just tie together here. What do you consider happiness? Think about that for just a minute. What do you consider happiness? Because I know what I consider happiness after church on a Sunday is when I get to take a nap. Like, it makes me pretty happy. All right? Especially if I've eaten lunch right before. But you think about all the things in life that make us happy. Is happiness in getting the things that we want? Is it getting to do the things that we want? Would you be happy if you just simply had life and liberty? Like, would that be enough for you? Or do you need something more? It's a serious question that we can, every one of us, myself included, needs to ask ourselves. Would I be happy with life and liberty, as I described them, gifts from God, rights from God, or do I desire something more? Do I need more than that to be happy? Here are some things that lead to happiness and that would make some people happy, but not everyone, okay? Happiness is the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good. The state of being in which his desires are gratified. Happiness is when your desires are gratified. And people have different desires, so people have different things that can lead to happiness. So again, I'm going to share a couple of scriptures, but these may apply to you, they may not, because you have different desires. Psalm 127, verse 4 through 5 says, like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. A quiver full of children can bring happiness. Now, there's going to be stress, there's going to be chaos, but it can bring happiness because children are a blessing from the Lord. Now, others may not desire to have their own children. Maybe that's not what would make them happy. Maybe they're just happy for TJ instead. Okay? You can do that. That's okay if that doesn't bring you happiness. But it is something that does bring happiness that is of God. Psalm 128:2 says, when you eat the labor of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. When you work hard for something, when you labor for something, you're happy when you reap those rewards, right? I mean, how many of you have really worked diligently on a project, or you've really worked hard at restoring a relationship? I mean, you can apply this a whole bunch of different ways, but the labor that you put forth, the labor of your hands, the efforts that you put forth, how many of you have experienced where there's just this overwhelming joy when it's done? Not just because it's done, because you're like, wow, that really just happened. Like, that's cool. Like, that's done. Now I can enjoy it. I can enjoy the fruits of it. It makes you happy, and it shall be well with you. So those are some things that make some people happy, but not everybody. But there's something that everybody has a longing for. Every single person, nobody's exempt from this. Something that will make everything happy, or everyone happy, because happiness is the agreeable sensations which spring from the enjoyment of good, and that a state of a being which he desire, which in which his desires are gratified. These desires that we've talked about, there's one that's in every person, whether they admit it or not, and whether they recognize it or not. It's there, no matter what. Nobody's exempt. Psalm 144, verse 14 through 15, that our oxen may be well laden, that there be no breaking in or going out, that there be no outcry in our streets. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. We find happiness when we allow Jesus to be Lord. It's a fact. It's in the scriptures. Everything that's in the scriptures is a fact, okay? It's all true. And when we allow Jesus to be Lord, we find happiness. It doesn't mean you'll be happy all the time about everything in life, but it will bring you happiness. Psalm 146, verse 5 says, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. There is happiness knowing that God is there. Just knowing that he's there, okay? If you've made him your Lord and you're aware that he's there no matter what you're going through, it can bring happiness. It doesn't mean you have to be happy about every situation, but it can bring happiness. Like, man, if I didn't have God to get me through this, I don't know what I would do. And you're just happy because you have the Lord. Even when you're going through something tough, When we need his help, he is there. Happiness is placing our hope in Christ. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding." I don't know too many things more frustrating than having a lack of understanding. I hate when I don't understand something. Now, there's a lot of things that I don't know, and there's a lot of things I don't understand, but when I have to deal with them, I get very frustrated if I don't have understanding. Like, I just want to at least know what's going on here. I want to at least be able to have an understanding of the situation. But it drives me crazy, and oh, how happy I am when God gives me wisdom to understand. How many of you can relate to that? How many of you have dealt with something where it's like, I have no idea how to do this, I don't understand it one bit, and then God gives you some kind of wisdom where you're like, man, God is good. Thank you, Lord, because now I'm happy. The problem may not even be resolved. It may just be the tip of the iceberg, but now I kind of understand what's going on, and I can be happy with that. I'm not upset anymore. God gives us wisdom to understand situations, and it brings happiness. Proverbs 16, verse 20 says, "He who heeds the word wisely will find good. And whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he." When we obey the word of God and trust Jesus, we'll be happy. Again, it's a fact. It's in the scriptures. You guys just have to write these down and look them up. You know the verse Paul says, "Let every man be a liar"? It doesn't mean that you can't believe anything that anyone says. It means go and look it up for yourself. Don't just take my word for it. Write these down. Go home and read them. Maybe I'm just telling you random scriptures and making stuff up. There's people that do that. I promise I don't ever do that. But there's times where I may be in error. I may understand something incorrectly. I'm telling you, look these up for yourself. When we obey the word of God and trust Jesus, we will be happy. So, when the United States of America desired their God-given rights, the God-given right to life, the God-given right to liberty, the God-given right to pursuit of happiness, they desired independence from tyranny. That's what they were dealing with at the time. All right, they needed freedom from these tyrants, from the British. And I'm not anti-British. Christy's grandma was British, and I love talking to her because it was always cool to listen to her talk. But they were wanting this freedom from tyrants, and freedom is what people wanted then, and freedom is what people still want today. We live in the land of the free, but is this the land of the free? I mean, is it? People that have lived here their whole lives, there's some people are still seeking freedom. People that come from other countries, they're like, man, America's where it's at. Like, I can go to college there for free because I'm from another country, and then I don't have any debt, so I just pile up money from the day I get a job, and it's a lot easier for me to get a job because people have to hire minorities, and they do all this stuff. It's like, man, this is the land of the free. People that live, that are born and raised here sometimes are like, dude, where's the freedom? All right? Where's the freedom in the government that we're under and all these things? But people want freedom today just like then. But what are Americans free to do right now? As an American, what are you free to do? For the most part, anything you want outside of the law. But, okay, you can't go kill somebody. You can't do anything that's going to put you in jail. But for the most part, you can do whatever you want. Thomas Jefferson wanted his God-given freedoms, but the people of today, they want the freedom to do what they want. That's the difference. Then it was like, I just want what God has told me is mine. And today it's like, hey, I want what I want. I don't even really care what God said is mine. I want to do what I want. Today, freedom is I get to do what I choose no matter what anybody else thinks about it, and that's freedom. That's what people believe today. That's the big difference between then and now. And there's a real problem with that. Galatians 6:7 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap." This country right here is reaping what it's sown. We are. We're reaping what we have sown. The reason that this place is the land of the free, but it seems like there's no freedom. It's because we're reaping what we have sown over the years. When a country compromises righteousness over and over and over and over, why are we surprised that we live in such a sinful generation? Why? We're just simply reaping what we've sown, what the world would like to call karma. God calls reaping and sowing. Anthony learned that this weekend, didn't you? He probably did learn. I got hit, and then he got hit, and I was like, see, that's reaping and sowing right there. You laughed at me because I got hit, and then you got it back. Now, I didn't intentionally hit him or anything. I'm not going to tell the whole story. But what the world calls karma, God calls reaping and sowing. And right now, we are reaping what we have sown as a nation. Proverbs 14:34 says, godliness makes a nation great. And we were a great nation. I'm not confident in saying that today. I'm not looking to move to another nation because I think we've still got a lot of things going for this nation. But we were a great nation because this was a godly nation. Godliness makes a nation great, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Any people. It doesn't matter if you're in a great nation. Sin's a disgrace to any people. And we started as a great nation, but sin is leading this to a disgraceful nation. It just is. It's the sin, it's the tolerance of sin, it's the acceptance of sin. And we're moving from one nation under God toward one nation under the wrath of God. That's what it looks like to me. We're moving from one nation under God to a nation under the wrath of God. So are we really the land of the free? Or are we the land of the chained? Are we the land of the bound? It depends on which way you want to look at it. If you want to look at it from a spiritual sense, I don't believe we're the land of the free because our freedoms as Christians are getting suppressed over and over. They threw God out of this and out of that until he's allowed in nothing anymore except here. And how long until they try to take him out of here? Over my dead body, literally. I mean, unless they are forceful enough to at least be able to drag me off. Maybe I won't be dead, but they'll be dragging me out of here. They're not taking away my God-given right. They're not taking it away from me. Nobody. We're a country that, you know, we not just turn a blind eye to sin, okay? That'd be one thing. And it's not a good thing either. But we're a country that supports sin. We encourage sin. Just think about some of these things right here. Abortion. That's encouraged in this country. Like, that's your right to choose. No. Our right is life. That's our right, God-given right. You have the right to not just be homosexual, but you can even get married if you want. No, that's not your right. My right is freedom. My right is liberty in Christ, knowing him. Divorce, religion, pornography, feminism, pride, witchcraft, drunkenness, gambling, the love of money, all the junk that we're fed on TV through music and through commercials and a lot of the shows, those are a list of what people would call freedoms that we have rights to as citizens of the United States. You realize that it's legal for people to look at pornography when they're 18 years old. Like legal, like they can go buy it. Why, if we're the land of the free, why are we telling people at the age of 18, you're free to be bound? Why are we telling people stuff like that? That's the stuff that this country looks at as freedoms, and they're not freedoms at all. As a matter of fact, I would submit to you that these very freedoms are the things that bind us in chains. They're sin. The United States of America is a sinful nation. What does God say about these things? 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 10. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Are you being deceived? People are being deceived all around us. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. It's fact. It's in the Bible. Galatians 5, 19, 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. It's a war, the spirit versus the flesh. The works of the flesh are evident. They're adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which includes drugs in there. If you look up the root word for that, it's pharmacia or pharmakia, and that's drugs, mind-altering things. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I've told you in the times past, those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We won't. And those are the things that our nation supports. I read this great article, and I should have shared it today, but one of my instructors at the Bible school I'm doing online, he laid out this whole thing about sin. The whole story was about the United States, and it tied to one of these scriptures where it showed that we as a nation, we support every one of those things, that it's in the core of what we are right now. And Nelson Mandela said, when a man is denied the right to live the life he believes, he has no other choice but to become an outlaw. When you're denied the right to live as you believe, you have no other right or no other choice but to become an outlaw. That's what Thomas Jefferson did. He's like, listen, you're holding me back from living the life that I believe in, my God-given rights. I'm becoming an outlaw. We're declaring ourselves independent. We're out of here. And as more of our God-given rights get taken from us, we have to become outlaws. It's not very often that you go into a church and pastor tells you that you need to be an outlaw, okay? So you get a free pass today. You can be an outlaw if you're standing for the righteousness of God. Stand for the righteousness of God. No more compromise. Are you willing to stand for Jesus today? Are you willing to fight for freedom today, just like these men did in the Declaration of Independence? We need to declare our independence from the devil, from the works of the enemy, from the things that happen around us in this world. See, the reason people don't want to go against the government is because people like the safety of the government. The government provides safety, right? They're like a safety net for everything. If anything fails, they're there. No, they're not. Try to call them one time. See how long you wait on hold before all of a sudden it gets disconnected and you have to start over. They're not there for you. God's there for you. Not this country. Benjamin Franklin said, they who can give up the essential liberty and obtain a temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. Those who obtain safety by giving up liberty, they don't deserve either one. You don't deserve the safety. You don't deserve the liberty. And now this doesn't give us a reason to be bitter and mad at our government. It gives us a reason to pray. It gives us a reason to try to do what we can about it. Martin Luther King Jr. said, let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. We don't try to satisfy that thirst for freedom by being mad at the government, by slandering the president, by doing all these things that are going to gain us what? Nothing. But we can pray. That's all we can do. We can pray and we can stand for righteousness no matter what the cost is. No matter what the cost, we need to stand for righteousness. So today, as we go out from this place, I want us to be declaring our independence from the world. Now, you don't have to if you want to stake your yard off, I guess you can, but I think our government will still come and try to take it from you. But we can stake a claim to our lives. We can stake a claim that, listen, if you go against what the Word of God says, I have God-given rights. I have a God-given right to life, to liberty, to the pursuit of happiness, according to the Word of God. Not according to the world and what they think. and pray. Pray for our country. And it's something that I lack in. I don't pray enough for our country. I should more often than I do. A lot of times I'm more focused on my family and you guys more so than I am the country. But guess what? Things would probably be a whole lot better in our lives if things were better in our country, okay? God says that if you'll humble yourselves and pray and call by my name, I'll heal your land. We need our land healed today. So today, we're going to do that. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. I don't even know what time it is. I don't really care. If anybody has to take off, you're always free to do so. But we're going to pray for just a few moments. And if you can put that list up there, do you have that list? These are just suggestions that I had come up with. Kind of on the left is more things to pray for, like to happen. And the right is more things to pray against in our country. But we're literally just going to open this thing up. If you want, guys want to turn on some slower music down low, and we're going to pray. It's the only thing that we can do is pray for our country. So it's what we're going to do. We're going to pray that God will make a change, that he'll do something in our country in all these areas, and believe that he will. That's all we can do as we declare this independence from the world, independence from sin. We have to pray for our country. So I'm serious. If you're willing to pray, I want you to pray. I mean, if you're scared to death, pray anyway. It really isn't that hard. Nobody in this place is going to care and think poorly of you like you're not a powerhouse prayer warrior. If anybody thinks that, they can leave. If you think that right now, you can leave. I'm serious. You're free to go. We're praying because we want to see our nation changed. We're praying because we're tired of the bondage of sin, the sown corruption that's in our lives every time we turn on the TV or the radio or talk to people, read the newspaper. When's the last time you saw some good news in the newspaper besides looking at a sports section and seeing somebody win, okay? When's the last time you looked at the front page and you saw a bunch of good news? I'm tired of it. So we're going to pray today for our country, for those things, whatever you feel led, and I want you, as you get ready to, begin to make a line up the middle here. And I'm going to start us out, and then we're just going to go through a line of prayers until we're done, until God tells us to wrap it up. So begin to line up. Anybody who's willing to pray, and after I get done, we're just going to hit the microphone and pray, seeking the Lord. Lord, I just thank you, Lord, for this country. I thank you for that we live in a country that is free right now to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you that we have the freedom, Lord, to seek you and to gather together, that we don't have to hide and seek you in secret with our lives being in danger, but that we have the freedom to go after you, that we have the freedom to pray as we're going to right now together, just seeking you and asking you to move in our country. So, Lord, I just pray right from the top. I just ask you to bless our president. Lord, you know what he needs, Lord, whether good or bad. You know the blessings that he needs in his life. And I ask you to move upon his heart right now by the power of your spirit. Lord, invade his heart. Draw him to his knees, Lord. Draw him to repentance. Lord, we need godly leaders in our country. God, we need people who are seeking you, who are seeking your wisdom and your truths, making the decisions for this country, Lord. And I don't believe that you have to replace everybody that's in there. God, just as you drew me up from the pit of hell where I was headed, Lord, I believe you can do the same for our president and for all those surrounding him. And I just ask you right now to invade his heart by your spirit, Lord. God, transform his life. I pray that you give him visions and dreams straight from you, God, things that he's to do. I pray that he wakes up or even whatever he's doing right now, that he'd have a realization of who you are and how you want him to lead this country. Lord, we know he's in place because you allowed him to be in place. Your word says that where there's leaders and there's rulers, that you allowed it to happen. Lord, and for whatever purpose that is, we just ask you to just wreck his life, Lord. Wreck his life for you, for your kingdom, for your glory. Fill him with your spirit today. Lord, I just pray that you would soften his heart to hear your voice today in Jesus' name.
Lord, we just come before you now, Lord, and I specifically lift up the media to you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that the media learns to prophesy, that the media, the writers of stories, the journalists, Lord, that they begin to dig deep and they begin to speak edification, that they begin to look for the goodness that is in this world so we can change our focus, so we have a different mindset, so what we are influenced by is edifying things, not those of the negative things that bring us burdens and that draw us down and that give us and continually feed us negativity. Lord, I pray that we are fed positive things, Lord Jesus, that we have a change in our mindset, that the things that are brought to our attention through the media, Lord, are glorifying to your name, not things that are influencing us and putting bad thoughts and bad images in our mind, but Lord, bring your glory through the media, Lord. And I also lift up the social media, those who post, Lord, I pray that they are lifting, being uplifting and being edifying to one another, that we could draw from statements that are made and we can relate to testimonies that are being brought forth, Lord, and that your glory prevails continually, that that people change their mindset from, I have bad luck, they change it from that mentality and they say, I have the favor of the Lord upon my life. I pray that in Jesus' name.
Father, as a citizen of this country, I just repent for the things that we've done as a nation. Repent for the way that we've turned against you, Lord, in a relatively short time. The changes that have taken place so quickly that have drawn us from you. Lord, on behalf of this church and on behalf of this nation, we just repent for what we've done in this country. We repent for taking you out of our schools and for limiting the way that you can move in this country. Lord, we pray that you would restore us to a Christian nation again, that we would be one nation under God. I just pray for a great move of your Spirit that causes repentance all across this country. That people would fall to their knees today in repentance, Lord. Personally, I just pray that they would fall to their knees in personal repentance, and that as that takes place, it would be such a great move of your Spirit that this whole country would be on their knees. Lord, I pray that you put it on other churches to be praying in this direction as well. Lord, we can repent on behalf of this nation, but we know it's going to take a move of your Spirit to cause a great repentance, and that's what we want to see. We want to see hearts turn back to you. We want to see people on their knees, realizing what they've done to turn away from you and seeking you once again, maybe for the first time ever. God, we just thank you. I believe this in Jesus' name, and I prophesy these things over this nation.
Lord, I just come into your presence, Lord, just thankful for just the relationship that we can have with you, Lord. And I'm thankful, God, for just the deliverance that you've done in my life and in those that have been in this church and just all across America, all the deliverance that you have done within us, Lord. But I also come repenting, God, on behalf of myself and the other Americans, Lord, just that idolatry that we have, the things that we've put above you, Lord, the idols within our homes and within our families, God, I just ask that you begin to tear down the walls of idolatry and that you'll reveal them to us, the things that we have placed above you. And I just also repent, God, for just the abortion that's taken place in this country. I pray that you begin to heal those who have partaken in that, God, heal the brokenness within their lives. And I pray that you begin to radically change this nation's heart towards life. And that we will see abortions completely eradicated in this nation. We ask these things in your name, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit that's moving across this nation, and Lord, for the conviction of the Holy Spirit and for the restraining of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, I just pray that you continue to put your hand of mercy and grace on this country, Lord, that you pour out that grace and mercy. Jesus, we repent on behalf of the church for the complacency of the church. I pray that you would give the church and the remnant of the people that you have in this country, Lord, I pray that you would give them a boldness to rise up and stand in faith, Lord, and just to fight. I pray that you would just raise up an army in this country of believers to fight for you and to fight for righteousness.